In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the Sunday before Theophany, the great feast that is coming up on Wednesday, January 6th, when we celebrate the baptism of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we call this feast Theophany or Epiphany. And the Greek word epiphany means appearance or appearing, manifestation. Theophany is just a more specific form, meaning the appearance or the manifestation of God, a divine manifestation. And we celebrate Theophany as the revelation of Christ to the world. At his baptism. So at his birth, there were a few present. You know, shepherds and magi came, were brought to worship him. But then, really, he was secluded from the world for 30 years as he grew up, until the time of his baptism, after which he then went forth for 3 years of ministry, you know, traveling throughout the countryside, collecting his disciples, working miracles, healing, preaching. All of that happened after his baptism. His baptism then is his revelation to the world. It's his becoming manifest to the public. But it's not just the revelation of a great teacher, but the revelation of the Son of God. Because as we will hear in the Gospels for the feast, after Christ was baptized, when he came up out of the water, the voice of God spoke from heaven, announcing that this man who is baptized is the Son of God, his beloved Son. So he is sent forth with the recommendation, so to speak, of God the Father in order to preach, to heal, and ultimately, of course, to save the world through his cross and resurrection. Today's epistle and gospel reading are preparatory for that feast. Of course, in the gospel we heard about John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of our Lord and prepared the way for him, and then is the one who baptized him. So he played a key role in revealing Christ to the world. And in fact, in another gospel, in the Gospel of John, we hear that Saint John the Baptist sent to Jesus his very first disciples. His very first disciples were sent from John. They were disciples of John the Baptist, and he told them, no, follow him. And so they followed Christ. Today's epistle reading doesn't mention the baptism of Christ. You might be curious why we're reading it before the feast of Theophany, Epiphany. Well, it's because the very last word in today's epistle reading, his appearing, in Greek is actually his epiphany. St. Paul says that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for all those who have loved Christ's appearing, who have loved Christ's epiphany. What does it mean to love his epiphany? It means to love this Christ who has been revealed to the world, this manifestation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is revealed, as I just said, historically through his baptism and through his ministry that followed that. But there's another sense in which Christ is revealed. He's revealed to each of us in our living and daily experience, as we walk with him, as we draw near to him in prayer, as we obey him, as he has promised in the Gospel of John. He says, if anyone loves me and keeps my commandments, then I and my Father will come and we will abide in them. we will come and make our home in them. So Christ is also revealed to us now in the present moment as we draw near to him in faith and obedience. And then there's also another sense in which this word appearing can be understood, this epiphany, referring to Christ's second coming, when he will be revealed in a different way. When Christ walked this earth, he was revealed in humility, in his condescension. We didn't see his divine glory, but it was veiled, it was hidden from us, because we weren't yet prepared to see that divine glory. We'd be burned up by it. So he came in great humility, walking with his divinity veiled in flesh. But when he comes again at the end of time, we don't know when, but he is surely coming, he will be revealed in his divine glory so that all will know him when they see him as being the Son of God. And at that time, he as the righteous judge that St. Paul mentions in today's epistle will judge all mankind, giving to those who have loved his manifestation that crown of righteousness. St. Paul, earlier in this reading, is encouraging St. Timothy, his disciple, who had himself become an apostle and gone to minister to the flock of Christ, encouraging him to remain steadfast and to endure suffering, fulfilling his work, not being turned back by any persecution. And St. Paul is, of course, really urging Timothy to do what he himself had done for so many years. As he says, "I am already on the point of being sacrificed, and the time of my departure has come." He was awaiting his execution as a Christian by the pagan persecutors in Rome who were about to have him executed. So Paul himself had endured so many things, so much deprivation, living in poverty, really wandering the face of this earth with nothing, nothing but Christ. Being stoned, being beaten, being unjustly accused, all of these things he had endured and yet remained faithful in his ministry, in his calling. He remained faithful to Christ. He puts it this way, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." This is a very familiar verse. It's in fact quoted by people who really aren't Christians at all. It's just a very familiar way of sort of expressing that one has fulfilled one's goal. You know, "I fought the good fight." And people mean all different kinds of things when they say that, you know, outside of the biblical context. "I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith, I've become all that I can be." But that's not what it means here. There's a very specific meaning when St. Paul says this. Remember the context, he is at the threshold of his martyrdom. So for him, this fight that he has fought is won by being killed. There's no other fight that I can think of that's won by being killed. This is a very specific kind of fight that he is talking about. The finish line for his race, this race that he has run, is for him to leave this world. And all of this happens because he has kept faith in Jesus Christ. His fight is to maintain the faith in the unassailed by physical and spiritual enemies. His fight is especially against those unseen powers of darkness that seek to pull all of us away from God and into their own torment that they are destined for. His race is to come to the presence of God, offering himself as a gift. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, how can one do this? How can one stand in the face of the reality of one's death approaching, knowing that all that he needed to do was say Christ is not God, and then he could be free, and yet to maintain that faith to the very end? What is necessary to have such great faith, such faith which earns a crown of righteousness from the righteous judge at the very end of the world? What enables us to do this is to love his appearing, to focus on his revelation of God to us, to stay absorbed in it. You know, we talk about the TV shows that we love, you know, whether it be Downton Abbey or Friends or whatever. We love these TV shows. But all the more, we should love the gospel of Christ's appearing, knowing that our God has not left us, abandoned us to our own destruction, which we have worked through our sins, but he came and revealed himself in order to draw us back to himself. And having drawn us to himself, to transform us to become like himself. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us draw encouragement from St. Paul's example and also from his exhortation to love Christ's appearing, to fight this good fight of faith, and finish the race of Christian life, not having lost that treasure that we've been given. To our good and saving God be glory, honor, and worship, together to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.